for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, November the 22nd, 2001. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the first service of the series of meetings.
Brother Bill Smith has been part of this place for quite a few years, and we've been part of their congregation
from time to time. Amen.
And it's a privilege to have him back. I was just sure that his wife was going to be with him this time, but circumstances happened that she just couldn't be here, even though she wanted to.
Right.
And I know she did, because we just love her and love Brother Bill and the ministry that the Lord's given him, a ministry of the kingdom, and we're just going to sit back and let him lay it on us here. Amen. And we don't have any problem here with the clock tonight. We should take them all down, I guess, because you're just here for here. You're not going anywhere. So, well, now, Ron has to go to work in the morning. But, really? Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. So, Brother Bill, come and bless us with the word.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's certainly an honor to be here in the camp. Like Brother Glenn said, this has been partly of my home. I came here in 1979, and I seen God do great and mighty things. And I was here in one of the services that we did go on until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And people were slain out in the Spirit. Nobody pushed them over. Nobody did anything. God was just moving. And so we praise the Lord for that. And we're so happy for what God is doing. I believe that the world is in the beginning of sorrows. But I believe that God's calling for a people to come forth in this hour. I believe that God's wanting us to come and to get into our place in God and see the manifestation of God. And there's one thing that I like, Sister Mildred Coffey, and you know, Brother Jim, I loved them for so many years, and I'm grateful to see Sister Mildred just going on, because I know people that they stop. But listen, there's no time for quitting. There's no time for stopping. There's no time for altering our plans. Our plans are still going forward. Praise the Lord. And so I thank God for this camp, and I thank God for Brother Doc and Brother Glenn and Sister Irma. You see, I knew Irma when she was an executive. And we've been in a lot of meetings in different places across the United States with Brother Glenn and Sister Irma. So I count it an honor. And, you know, Brother Doc came to me this last year. I believe we were in North Carolina. And Brother Doc said to me, says, you know, Brother Bill, you're the first one that introduced me to the fivefold ministry. Well, we could say, oh, isn't that wonderful and isn't that great? We thank the Lord for that. But you know what? Brother Doc, Brother Glenn, and Sister Irma introduced me to deliverance. And you know, people say that, you know, they've been brought out from under all the curses. I want to know what the doctor asks you when you go see the doctor. What does he want to know? He wants to know what's back there, doesn't he? He wants to know what's in there. You know, I had the privilege and the honor because of being in Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. My little granddaughter was going to be baptized. My granddaughter wanted to be baptized at 4 days old. And I felt of the Lord not to put that baby under the water, because I just felt, well, then certainly a few days after that, someone did, I believe it was in a denominational Pentecostal Holiness Church thing, and they baptized the baby and it drowned the baby. And I never did that. But I reached into that baptism water. There's no salvation in that water. It came out of the pipes in Fort Worth, Texas. But you see, the whole symbol of the thing was, you know, we go down, they bury the old man, and the new man walks out. And so I took that baby 4 days old in my arm, my granddaughter. And I said, God, I break every generational curse off from this baby. I break every hereditary curse off from this baby. Right here, 4 days old. And God, that you set this people free, set my baby free. And I didn't know about that, you see. But I learned it as I came and sharing. And I hope tonight that I'm a blessing to you because I come to receive from you. And I, in turn, I want to be a blessing unto you. So I praise God for what He's doing today. There has never been a day like this day. And like Brother Robert said tonight, that I hope that people don't go from that. But people are coming together and they're learning of God. Denominational barriers is coming down and these type, and people are coming together in one factor, and that is to meet with God. And that's where it all should be tonight, that we come together to meet with God. And you know, I was talking about my wife not being here, and she wanted to be here, but she had surgery and a carpal tunnel and some cystitis, and had to remove a tumor off from this finger. But she's recuperating at home, and so Brother Robert talked about coming here and being away from home at Thanksgiving. Well, see, in the ministry, we learn how to dodge the bullet. And so then we just got together last Sunday at my house and all of my children and my grandkids. So we had Sunday Thanksgiving dinner last Sunday. So then we're all taken care of. And so we're happy to be here. Turn with me in your Bibles tonight. And I want to speak to us about a thought that God has been dealing with us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Now, I want you to know today, the enemy is after the seed of God. He's after your seed. And it's just like at home, in our church at home. Brother Robert, we don't have enough babies crying in our church. And this is a hurt. And I'm crying out to God day after day. God, you breathe upon the four winds. You draw your people from the north, the south, and the east and the west, that we can come together and learn of you. Now, tonight, I want to talk to us about the man, the maid, and the man-child. All right? But let's notice in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. There's not a one of us here tonight that does not want to reign with God. I want to reign until every enemy becomes my footstool. I want to reign until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. That's what I want to see God bring this about. So you see, and then we had a man that came, as like Brother Robert was talking about the revelation a while ago. He came to me and he said, you know, Brother Bill, he said, God gave me a revelation. Said, Adam produced a son after he became 100 years old, and so therefore he produced one in perfection. I said, but brother, you forgot to read the book. The Bible says all in Adam die, all in Christ is made alive. And this is where we're at today. Now, notice something. We look in the generations of Adam, and we close out the book of Genesis, and we've got the greatest patriarch of all. His name is Joseph, and he's in a coffin. He's in a coffin. But brother and sister, God is wanting a people today that will move behind the veil of humanity and that will behold the glory of our God, that we're changed from one realm of glory into another realm of glory until we're changed into His likeness and image. Now, let's notice something. He is after the seed. Go with me into the book of Proverbs, chapter 30 and verse 18. And let's look here at the word of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 18. Here is Solomon, the wise man, said, there be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air. Now, we could go in that route tonight, and we know that God said He would renew our youth as an eagle. But I'm not going in that direction tonight. And the way of the serpent upon the rock. Now, I grew up in California, but I was born in Oklahoma, and we had a ranch, a big farm in Oklahoma. And I remember as my dad would send me to go down to get the cattle and things of this and bring them up to the house. Little old branch that run to the big tank that filled the tank full of water for the cattle. There was a lot of sandy glades. And I could see when them serpents went down into that branch and got them a drink of water. And when they crawled across the dust, they left their mark. But brother and sister, there would be rocks around in the bank of that branch. And when that serpent crawled out on that rock, you could see a little bit of dampness, but there left no mark. Now, brother and sister, today, the wages of sin is death. There is no way around it. In other words, where there is no sin, there is no death. And brother and sister, this is where we're coming to today. And the serpent crawled through that sand, and you can see where they left. Brother, you can look at the people in the earth today, and you can see the mark of the serpent upon their lives. You can see where that they are distorted in so many ways. But notice something. The way of the serpent upon the rock. I believe that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, when Peter came out and he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus turned around and he said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father revealed it to you. He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then what did he say? I will build my church upon the revelation of the rock, of the Christ being the living God. And he's still doing this today. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The way of the serpent upon the rock. Why are we here? Why did we come here? We come here that we, because listen folks, God is raising up deliverers in the earth today. And brother and sister, we've made a mess out of many things that we've done today. But I want you to know God has did a great deal in spite of us. But you see, the way of the serpent upon the rock, it left no mark. Now, go in a little further into this. Let's, Matthew chapter 4. Let's look at this. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, folks, it's not a sin to go into the wilderness. But our problem with the church today, they live there. Jesus stayed there 40 days and 40 nights. You look all the way through your Bible and 40 is divine testing on this earth. How long was Moses in the mount with God? 40 days and 40 nights. How long was the flood upon the earth? 40 days and 40 nights. How long did Jesus fast? 40 days and 40 nights. Why? But you see, He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, but we as the people of God, we homestead there. And God wants us up out of that wilderness that He can put His life within us and through us. All right, and then let's notice. Led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. You don't like that word tempted in the King James. It means to prove. Tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days, 40 nights, he was asked afterward in hunger. And when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God. Now, if thou be the Son of God. What was he wanting him to do? Act within his own self. What does the enemy try to get you to do? Act within yourself. I refuse to act in Bill Smith. I want you to know if I act, it's going to be in God. Amen. Hallelujah, because my life is hid with Christ and in God. Now, notice, if thou be the Son of God, Brother Robert, he knew he was the Son of God. He knew he was. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Huh? But then notice something. But he answered and said, it is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, you see, where is the mark that is left on him? There was no mark left on him. And brother and sister, today I am here to tell you that the mark is up on Christendom today. I know I look around and I see some of the name brand preachers across the United States. And I see them going into sacrifices and all these kind of things because they're trying to do something to draw a crowd. But it's time that we ourselves to bring forth the life of God into the church of the living God. It's just like the other morning, I woke up, it's at 4 o'clock. We have a little old clock sits over there, and it's lighted up. I looked over, it's 4 o'clock. And oh, I woke up, and I was crying out, oh, that I might know Him. Oh, that I might know Him. Sure, I've been saved and I've been preaching and prophesying now for 39 years going into my 40th year. But I'm still crying out, oh, that I might know Him. And Brother Robert, all of a sudden I said, God, bring me to the place that You can trust me. Hallelujah, that You can trust me. What with everything that You have, all power in heaven and earth has been given into the body of Christ. And I said, God, that You can trust me, that I don't stock something off outside of God. And oh, I sat there and I wept in my bed. Some of the ministry, Brother Glenn, that we raised as young men, already got out there and getting off into all of these things and offering up the sacrifices. And I looked over there. There was the two little babies that my wife babysitted. They had to go to Six Flags because we live in the entertainment city. Had to go to Six Flags. So we took the preacher and his wife to Six Flags over Texas. My wife babysitted the girls. Now the girls is 16 and 18 years old. They were up there dancing at their daddy's ceremony with just barely enough clothes on. Now, brother, this is where they're going into. No wonder judgment is in the land. But the Word of God said when judgment's in the land, the inhabitants will learn righteousness. And so, this is where we're at. But Paul's cried out. He said, present your body a living sacrifice, not a sacrificial animal or any of that sort. Present your body as a living sacrifice. And then when we see John the Baptist, the Old Testament kept on saying, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. His diet's going to be butter and honey. And then all of a sudden, old John the Baptist, when Jesus walked out of the pages and became flesh and walked, and John cried out and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. What were they doing? Offering up the same sacrifices that the Word of God said did never take away sin. It was only covering it year by year by the atonement from the high priest. But brother and sister, when Jesus, he laid out there, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It was only covered year by year, but now we have one that taketh away the sin of the world. All right, and he said, man, but he answered and said, it is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Brother Robert left no mark. Left no mark on my Savior. Oh, hallelujah to God. No wonder that Brother Robert and Brother and Crystal was up here trying to get you to worship and love God. And I'll tell you, the many a morning, you know, the Word of God says, get up and set the Lord before you. Brother Robert, I got up this morning and I said, God, I don't need anything today, but I just want to love You. I want to worship You. I want to present myself to You. I want Your love. I want Your power. And I said, God, most of all, bring me to the place that You can trust me with it. You said, what are you talking about? We got a bunch of pictures the other day that we made in Mexico. The last trip was in there. And I've been back now, I guess, 2 weeks from Mexico. And there was a woman, an elderly woman. I don't know what was wrong. I don't know if it's a stroke. I don't know anything. And Robert, we went to the house. They said, please come and pray for her. We go to the house and we go in there. I knelt down on the floor and began to lay hands upon this woman. This woman threw the crutch down and got up and walked. And Brother Robert, I left there. We sure did do good today. And I said, oh God, forgive me. Forgive me. God, reveal Your power through me. God's waiting for men and women that He can rule through, to rule this earth with a rod of iron. He's not looking for you to be a king by yourself. He wants to rule through you. And I said, God, bring me to the place that You can trust me. And then my little baby sister that's in our church that called me the other day, you see, it was always told, said, them preachers, the move of God preachers, all they do is wear fancy suits and drive Cadillacs and eat fried chicken. They ought to follow us around sometime, Brother Robert. The other day, my little sister that's just a year and a half younger than I am, my baby, the other sister just between us and the baby sister, called me, and there's the words, if you want to see your sister, you better come to Oklahoma, down where Brother Dale is, Brother Glenn. And so I called my baby sister that's in our church, and I said, honey, I'm going to Oklahoma in the morning. I'm going to see Christine. She says, brother, can I go with you? My other sister called back, and she said, but we're going to get other people to go. And I said, no. This one belongs to me. I don't need nobody else. Me and God, we're going. And I went there, Sister Mildred, and I knelt by her bedside. I couldn't hardly tell as my sister to see the condition she was in. But right then and there, God raised her up. God set her free right there, and I said, now. But then I walked out of there, and I was dark, a little banny rooster. Oh, God, what You're doing today. But yet I was trying to take some glory. And I'm saying, now, God, You remove everything that's of the fleshly man. And God, You can do anything that You can trust me with. I want You to be able to trust me with Your glory. I want You to trust me with Your power. And then I won't go around like a little Benny Rooster. And then she calls, my sister calls. She said, oh, I ain't felt like this in a long time. Come on. Adam is always wanting to get in the way. Adam will get you disqualified. You said, I don't believe that. This Adamic nature, every one of us has got to carry over. Now, you said, well, I don't need deliverance. Well, you do need deliverance. Now, look at Rachel. Was not Rachel the type of the church? Was not she the woman of the church? Well, what did she do? She went down to her daddy's house. And when she moved out with all of the cattle and everything after the wages was changed and everything, but she still came out of there carrying her daddy's gods, his idols. It's the carryover. And brother and sister, today, the carryover that you and I are carrying over is the problem that we're having today. But we're looking for a place that there is no carryover. Now, I want you to go with me into the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. And I want us to look here at the word of the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. Notice what it says, "And I sought for man." You need to look that up in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, that man says champion. It says champion. Now, brother and sister, it ain't any old body that's going to move the Ark of the Covenant of God today. It's going to take a champion that has been born out of the Adamic race and brought into the very nature and the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reign with Him in life that left no mark. Brother and sister, I have been delivered from many marks of the carryover. But brother and sister, I don't have as many as I had when I started out. And brother and sister, the day's coming, I will walk out of every one of these hang-ups and I'll leave them hung up. Hallelujah. Now, I sought for a man. I sought for a champion. Now, what are you talking about? It ain't every one that says, "Lord, Lord," that's going to enter in. It's He that doeth the will of the Father. He's after those that will do the will of the Father. Now, I sought for a man. I sought for a champion among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, before the land, that I should not destroy it. And I found none. Brother Robert, the same thing was again when they found no room in the inn. The birds of the nest, the birds of the air, they have nest. The fox have holes. But the Son of Man hath no place to lay His head. Now, who is the head of the church? Come on. Who is the head of the church? It's Jesus. He had no place to lay His head. But I'm here to tell you that He's raising up some champions today, that He's going to be able to fasten the head to the body, and there'll be no difference in the work of the head and the work of the body. Because Ephesians chapter 1 verse 23 said, "Of His fullness shall He fill all and in all."
Amen.
Hallelujah. But you see, I sought for a champion. Now, did He say anything about the called, the chosen, and the faithful? Huh? In the book of Revelation, did He say anything about that? The called, the chosen, and the faithful. Now, this is why I am in good company. I met this man here, and I've always told him, this is the little man with the big stick. Y'all, a lot of you don't know about this, but many years ago, one of the trailers was burning down here. He takes the bulldozer and runs in there to grab the propane tank to get it away from there, keep it from blowing up. And the man was burnt real bad. And I thought my heart was going to burst when I saw this man burn. And we came and we prayed for him, and the end of the service was over with. You asked the man if he wasn't cleared up. Is that right, Brother Glenn? Come on. But brother and sister, well, the Hebrew children, they went in the fiery furnace and, oh, they'd only got one leg burned off and got the teeth all knocked out. No, sir. When they come out of the, you can never tell they have been there. And brother and sister, this is where God's bringing us today. We've been in the fire, but you can't tell we've been there because there's nothing that traces us back. Look at Joseph of old. The Bible said when he came out of there and when he came into the house and he was promoted where he's supposed to be, the Bible said he shaved off his beard and he buried all of his clothing. He got rid of everything. Why? Everything of accumulation, while it was in the dungeon, he got rid of it. And everything that you have of grave clothes, it's time that we get rid of it and walk with God. Yes. Hallelujah. Everything. His beard. The Bible said he changed clothes. He got rid of everything that is accumulated into the dungeon because he was coming in second command. He was going to ride in the second chariot. Come on. brother and sister, how about you and I today? Are we reigning in life? Are we coming through with no mark left upon us? All right, then the latter part of that verse, it says, let me go back to it again. Over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, and let's look here at it. Verse 30, chapter 30, and verse 19. And the way of what? A man with a maid. Now, you said, but Brother Smith, I just can't get these things. How many remembers that little book that's in your Bible that's called Ruth? Did you know that little old Ruth was a Moabitess? Did you know that it took 10 generations of purification before she could come into the lineage of a king? She was a Moabitess, folks. Now, I know there's some charts going around, but the Word of God says she was a Moabitess. And guess what? Sure, she gleaned up behind the big boys. Come on. But so have we. What do we do? Sister Mildred, we went down there and gleaned behind the reapers. And we picked up the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Because they didn't need them. They only believed in the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They believed in a mutilated hand. Huh? But you see, Ruth was gleaning behind the reapers. And guess what? All of a sudden, word began to get back to Boaz. Boaz was the mighty man of wealth, the nearest kinsman, which was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? Naomi said, Ruth, you get down there at the threshing floor. And of course, it was the darkest hour. It was at midnight. And guess what? She went down to the floor. Boaz comes in, and Boaz takes his skirt and redeems Ruth. And Ruth became his wife, which produced Obed-Edom, which was the father of Jesse, which was the father of David. You see the lineage of God because why? She presented herself. Brother and sister today, she was a champion. What did she say? She made the choice and she said, only God, only death will be between us. Your God is my God. Everything that you have is mine. Only death will separate us. And guess what? And that son was born. His name was Obed, wasn't it? The father of Jesse, who was the father of David. King David. All right? And then, was that a man, the maid, and the man child? Now, who is the man? The man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the maid? This maid is right here, the church. And what is it doing? He's breathing upon the church because she's going to bring forth a seed that's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14 says, and the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will fill the earth as the water covereth the sea. But you see, what do we have now? I thank God for Brother Glenn's house. You see, I don't never turn my key in, and Glenn don't let me turn it in. So I have a key all the time. Glenn comes to my house, he stays at my house all the time. But he don't have a key, he gives me mine back. And I thank God for Brother Glenn's house. But I know people in ministry today, I know them that's living in $12 million house. And they're begging for money every day. Every day. But they're living in $12 million houses. I don't have no $12 million house. But I got a good house, and I thank God for it. But brother and sister, I'd rather have my house and live and move and have my being with God and not go around telling lies. Because, now, I'm going to tell you something. And they will go around and sell their church, and they will take the money with them, And people said, oh, isn't they great men of God? Me and Glenn, if Glenn sold this here and took the money with him, he'd be a crook. And if we sold our church at home and took the money and left with it, I'd be a crook. I wouldn't be a man of God. But these others, they get by with that. Because why? But I want to tell you something. God is raising up a champion today. Now, I want you to go with me into the book of Romans chapter 6. And I hope I'm not getting too long-winded. My wife, you know, she'll tell me if I'm getting too long-winded, she'll wave the calendar. She says, the day is passing on you. All right. Okay. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. Notice what the Bible says. Neither yield ye your members as unto instruments of unrighteousness, unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What are we under? We're under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has made us free from the law of sin and death. Now, let's notice as we go on a little further here. Here the other day, go with me, Matthew 25. I hear of lately, I don't really know what God is really doing in our lives. We're ministering to some of the other churches around in our city during the week. And every Saturday night, I'm ministering at Good News Mission out on Hemp Hill Street. God is helping us to bring them a word of the kingdom and bringing them deliverance. At the Good News Mission out on Hemp Hill Street, the man that I was so upset at, because he thought preaching was really easy, so he left our church, and more or less he split our church, and he took all of his family with him, which he had like 20 members or so, of cousins and brother-in-laws and you know how that goes, and brothers and sister-in-laws and all this. All together about 20 members out of our church. Well, I was upset at him for a long time because that he did that. He took his family with him. Well, I guess that's okay. But you know something? God put a love in my heart to go right back to him. I've not ever been able to do that, Sister Mildred. You kill my dog and I'll get your cat. Adam always wants to get even. It's not me that done this. It's my wife. She's the one that done it, you know. Adam don't make no mistakes. So I have started and I went over there. And he said, I want you to minister. And I said, okay. And so I got up and I ministered. And I didn't even know I was going to minister. I didn't even know I was going to get thrown out. And so all of a sudden, the people went to hollering, we haven't heard a word like this before. And then the next thing, guy come up to me and he said, Brother Bill, here's a check for $500. I want to pay for your next trip into Mexico. All this started because I began to put stuff underfoot. And you know what? It wasn't my fault, but brother, it was my fault if I wanted to get even. And so I began to ask God to deal with that because I want to be in a place that He can trust me. And guess what? He called me and he said, Brother Bill, 17 years ago, I was with you in the country of Mexico. Can I go with you? I said, you sure can. And believe me, when we get in Mexico, it's togetherness. Because there ain't no place for nobody to go. If you don't speak Spanish, you're up the creek anyway. So after all, I was the only one that could butcher Spanish. Now, my daughter speaks Spanish. My oldest daughter's got a doctor's degree in Spanish. And then my baby daughter, She's a teacher in the public school system and bilingual, as they say, bilingual. Si, está bueno. Si, está bueno. So, we get down there and he says, Brother Bill, I didn't handle things just right. I said, oh? Because I didn't have any more excuses. I'd already took them to the Lord. There wasn't any left, Sister Mildred. And so, guess what? I get over there, start washing dishes. See, I'm not too good to wash dishes. See, I drive more than Cadillacs. I have to wash dishes too. And I even have to cook, Sister Mildred, in Mexico. And so, he'd say, let me wash them dishes. Let me do so and so. And I didn't know how to act to sit down and watch. Come on. But you see, my spirit was right first. How many of you in here remember Brother Costa Deer? A great man of God, a great apostle from Arabia. And I never will forget that time he was preaching with a great big old tall guy. And so, this big tall guy was mad at Brother Costa Deer. So they came together and they were going to have to preach opposite to one another. So Brother Costa Deer says, I can't be mad at him and preach opposite service of him. So, he come in there and so he reached his hand out to shake hands with him. Costa did, and he would shake hands. So Costa looked over and he said, I just clammed him and hugged his neck. So many a time, if we take a lesser place, God will break it down. And yet you are the champion. You're the one that's ruling in the earth. And so now what is God doing? God is helping us to bring this together because He's bringing a people that He can rule through. Now, the man, the maid, and the man-child. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. How many knows that the psalmist says, the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. A lot of this religious system I hear has got a little bit of word in it. I heard that over there, I said a little bit. But you know what? I'm not bound with that religious system. But on the other hand, when I get a chance, by the help and grace of God, I try to put some truth in there. Now, notice something. So, I went over there, and one guy, he just walked by and acted like he didn't see me. Well, a long time ago, he was in the church, our church. And so, I just looked up at him and I said, my name is C.D. MacDonald. And I'm looking for Bill Smith. He turned around and looked. He said, that is you, isn't it? And I said, yes, it is. So then the next thing he said, are you ready to catch the first load out of here? I said, oh, no. You know what he's talking about, don't you? Going to get the first load out of here, first elevator out? I said, oh, no, brother. I'm getting ready to take over. Because I say, you'll rule this nation with a rod of iron. I said, no, I'm not getting ready to get out of here. I'm getting ready to take over. I'm getting in position where God can trust me with His power to take over. So he didn't like that, and he went on. That's all right. And I hope you're not looking for a way out. I'm looking for a way in. Now, so then, five of them were wise and five were foolish. Well, that's not too good. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps while the bridegroom tarried. Uh-oh. They got a problem, Brother Robert. They all slumbered and slept. In your Bible, in the Greek and the Hebrew, sleep is a figure of death. They all slumbered and they slept. If you're asleep in your house, I can just about come in and spoil your goods. And if you're asleep spiritually, the enemy can take over. The enemy, it doesn't care which device that he uses to take over. He'll use any way that he can to take over But let me tell you something. So, well, I don't like that. All right, so then we could say maybe this is the 30-fold and then there's the 60-fold. But now, brother, here's where we come in now. Look at verse 6. And at midnight, in the darkest hour, there was a cry. Now, brother, every place that I go today, I'm going in and crying out for them to come out and meet with God. Sister Mildred, it'll change their lives. Come out and meet Him. Come out and meet God. You know, how many wants to quit having bad days? Set the Lord before you. Set the Lord before you. Follow after Him. You know, I think of David of old. Psalms 46. David says this, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, my soul panteth after thee, O God. Brother Robert, there is two reasons that are dear, or the heart, the dear family, will go to the brook for water. Number one, they're thirsty. Number two, if they're wounded, they go get in that cool water, and that cold water will curdle the blood and they won't bleed to death. So, brother, if you're wounded or wherever you're at, there's no other way to go except unto God. And as the heart panteth after the water brooks, my soul panteth after thee, O God. So, now, at midnight, behold the bridegroom coming. That cry was made. And I believe that we're in the midnight hour now. The darkest hour that I've ever seen since I've been on this earth. All the things that's been happening and everything. Listen, this earth is being judged. Brother, you see, I was raised with five sisters. And my sisters was always making me mean. And so, I learned, we on our farm, we had peach trees. My mother would send me to get the peach tree to whoop my sisters, and boy, I was happy they could go whooping. First thing I knew, I was getting a whipping. But Sister Mildred, I learned the secret. When my mother was whooping me, I'd just get up just as close to her as I could get. And she couldn't get that stroke. So I get real close. So now when God's pruning and taking off the dead limbs, I just crawl up in His arms because He's only removing that that's not going to bring fruit. Remember, He said, I'll cut away every dead branch. He's cutting away that that won't bring fruit. So what's He doing? Pruning away. But all while He's pruning, I'm loving Him. And I said, God, You know what I have need of even before I even ask. You see, I know y'all won't talk like this in Arkansas, especially they won't do this in Virginia Beach. But I said, God, if You're working on me and I'm squealing like a pig caught under a fence, You pay no attention. Just keep on working. Because You know what I have need of before I even ask. Brother and sister tonight, how many of us wants to be a champion? Listen, I don't want to be, they say, just make it in by the skin of your teeth. Brother and sister, we don't have a grand entry. A grand entry. Praise the Lord. And what are we going to do? Turn the kingdoms of this world over to the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. All right. Go with me now into Revelation 14 and we'll close here. My wife's not here to wave the calendar, but I'm looking at that clock back there. Revelation chapter 14. And let's look at this. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Having what? The Father's name written in the forehead. Right here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, years passed on by. Sister Mildred, or here's two Mildreds right here. Sister Mildred Coffey. People would say to me, because they felt like I knew a couple, three scriptures, they'd say, Brother Bill, what about the mark of the beast? I said, if you'll follow me, you won't have to worry about the mark of the beast. Where are we going to get it? In our forehead and in our hand? I said, no, sir. You follow me as I follow Christ, and we're going to have the Father's name written in our forehead, which is the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, these are they, what? Well, I got the Father's name written in their forehead. Birthmarks. All right? I heard a voice from heaven as a voice of many waters. And as a voice of great thunder. And I heard voice of harpers harping with their harps. I'll tell you, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all sing and play like Brother Robert does? Wouldn't that be wonderful? The book of Revelation says when we get to the throne, the overcomers are going to sit down and they're going to sing Alleluia around the clock. 24 hours a day of continued worship. If you don't want to worship now, you're going to have a problem then. And maybe the Lord will let me play beside Robert then. You reckon? Now, harpers. Harpers. Now, and they sung, as it were, a new song. The other day at the mission, I told them, Sister Mildred Metzinger, I said, listen, y'all are singing them songs that has no message in it and there's not no truth in it. And God's not going to honor that junk. God's not going to honor that. And then they want to know, how come that you always move in the realm of the Spirit? We try to get in line with the Word of the Lord. And they sung, as it were, a brand new song. Alright? And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. My aunt, then we got some people here from Tulsa, Oklahoma. My brother and sister are back there. I met them this afternoon. I have an aunt that lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And the other day she came to Fort Worth to see her daughter. So they said they wanted to see me. And so she called me son. She said, son, where is it that you're different from us? That we believe that we're going to go in a rapture. And I said, well, we're believing and holding out to be a part of that 144,000 that's redeemed from the earth and from mankind. She looks at me and I was never so surprised. She said, well, son, there's nothing wrong with that. I could have said and cut her head off. I said, but that's what I've been telling you, Auntie, all the way through. There is nothing wrong with that. I want you to know I'm not looking for an escape because God has never used a deserter. He has never used a deserter. He wants those that will go through. Go through. Of course, they get mad at you when you tell them you're not going to catch that first load out. But I want to tell you, and what now? Verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with women. I hope you know that this is talking about the systems of this earth. Isaiah 4. You know, systems of this earth, the religious system. And I want to tell you something. Everybody's running around and want to know, well, what's the beast going to be? It's right under your nose every day. It's a religious system. Man is a beast without the nature of God. Man is a beast without the very nature of God. It's your religious system in the earth is that beast. But brother, these are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile. For they are without fault before the throne of God. Now, brother and sister, in all of my years walking with God, in the last month, as revelation came to me from the Lord, and I said, God, bring me to the place that You can trust me. Come on. Matthew chapter 28 verse 18 said, all power in heaven and earth has been given to us. Now, did Jesus take any back the glory with Him? No, sir. Though He were rich, He became poor for mine and your sake, that through His poverty you and I would be made rich. That's the book. So, you see today, how many wants to be that champion? To rule, to reign in this earth. Revelation chapter 5 verse 10 said He raised us up as kings and priests unto God, that we would rule and reign on this earth. Did you hear, Glenn? A kingdom of priests. Let's stand together. Father, tonight we thank You for Your precious Word. God, we thank You for dealing with us, Lord. God, we've already been shown by You that You're not going to have mixture in this move. God, that You're moving out all of the mixture as You showed us in the book of Daniel. The clay, the iron, the brass, all mixed together. Lord, that there's not going to be no mixture in this move today. God, but You're looking for a champion, Lord, that's brought forth by that maid, the church of the living God in this earth. Father, tonight, every word that's been given from You tonight, God, to settle upon this people, that they'll not forget it. And God, that anything that I've done of my own stuff, Lord, help them to forget it before they leave this building tonight, Lord. But God, that which is You, Lord, let it stay in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Glenn. The Lord gave me a word for Brother Doc coming down. The Lord has so blessed us in the country of Mexico that we're literally touching thousands of lives in the country of Mexico. Seems like in the United States they don't want us that bad. But in Mexico they do. We had so many that we just prayed for mass healings. That God would heal every incurable disease that was in the congregation. We've had testimony after testimony that our God has honored that word. Tonight, if you have a problem, an incurable disease, God will set you free from that tonight. Let's raise our hands and let's pray. Our Father, our God, in Jesus' name tonight, Lord, every incurable disease that's in this room tonight, Lord, oh, shandili be underable, ko yandili be underable, see. I curse every disorder that would be in any vessel here tonight. Every incurable disease, Lord. We speak healing to it tonight, Lord. We speak deliverance tonight, Lord.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, according to Your word, be it unto them tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, we thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. If there are those that You feel that You need hands laid on You, You come and we'll lay hands on You. But we have people, while the Word is being ministered, that God is setting them free in the congregations. God bringing healing, miracles, while we're ministering the Word of the Lord. You know, I thank God for what He did for my little sister. I went and I knelt in the floor at her bedside. Drove all the way to Oklahoma, eastern Oklahoma, and back just to minister to my sister. Even the doctor said, "Christine, what happened to you?" She said, "My brother came and prayed for me and God healed me." Come on, folks. This is the children's bread. Did you know healing is the children's bread?
Yes.
It belongs to us. Praise the Lord. Brother Glenn.
Hallelujah. Oh, isn't He good? Isn't He good? Hasn't the Lord done all He said He would? He died on Calvary so we could be set free. Isn't He good? Oh, isn't You good? Isn't He good? Hasn't the Lord done all He said He would? He died on Calvary so we could be set free. Isn't He good? Isn't He good? You've got to catch the truth of this. You've got to catch the spirit of it. Because it sums up all that there is in life, all that you've come through since the last time we've been together, some of us together for the first time. But the truth of the matter is, through thick and thin, through storms and sunshine, we can say, isn't He good?
Amen.
The Bible says, hasn't He done all things well? Well, what about September 11th? Well, that wasn't Him. But He still reigns on the throne. And through it all, there's never been an opportunity in my life that I can remember, and I'll be 23 next week. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you. Spencer, be quiet. There's never been a time that I can remember when the American nation has been so open to the gospel. So you see, what the devil meant for evil, God meant it for good. So I'm just singing tonight. Just sing it from your heart. Isn't He good? Isn't He good? Hasn't the Lord and all His said He would? Oh, isn't He good? Isn't He good? Set free. Isn't Let's all stand to our feet and let's tell him tonight.
Isn't he good? Isn't he good? Died on the sad hill. He died on Calvary so we could be set free. Isn't he good? Isn't he good? Oh, isn't he good?
Get it in your heart.
Isn't he good? Has the Lord died on the sad hill.
Get it in your heart.
Isn't he good? Hasn't the Lord done all he said he would? He died on Calvary so we could be set free.
Isn't he good? Oh, isn't he good? One more time.
Oh, isn't he good?
That's a good declaration tonight. Isn't he good?
Amen.
Isn't he good? That's a good declaration. That's a good song to sing to yourself. Isn't he good? Isn't he good? Lord, you've really been good to me. Lord, you've really been good to me. You've taken my burdens and you set me free. You've really been good to me. Lord, you've really been good to me. Lord, you've really been good to me. You've taken my burdens and you set me free. You've really been good to me. Oh, Lord, you've really been good to me. Lord, you've really been good to me. You've taken my burdens and you set me free. You've really been good to me. Lord, you've really been good to me. Lord, you've really been good to me. You've taken my burdens and you set me free. You've really been good to me. Well, Lord, I want to thank you for all you've done. You've rescued and you've ransomed me. My life is all in pieces, but you've made it one. You've really been good to me. Lord, you've really been good to me. Lord, you've really been good to me. You've taken my burdens and you set me free. You've really been good to me. All together now, Lord, you've really been good to me. Lord, you've really been good to me. You've taken my burdens and you set me free. You've really been good to me. Now, this is a pretty simple one there, Crystal. I think you can manage that one without the slide.
I was still singing.
But it's, Lord, you've really been good to me. Lord, you've really been good to me. You've taken my burdens. Say, you've taken my burdens.
Taken my burdens.
That's not what I said. I said, you've taken my burdens.
Burdens,
hallelujah. Oh, y'all, you've taken my burdens. And you've set me free, hallelujah. Why don't you talk proper? You've really been good to me. Anybody here tonight, the Lord has not been good to you? Anybody here, the Lord has not been good to you? Get your hand down, Spencer. I thought so. The Lord has been good to us. The Lord has been kind to us. So listen, Lord, I want to thank you for all you've done. You've rescued and you've ransomed me. Remember in Matthew 21 when the children started to praise God, the Pharisees got indignant. You see, the complacent always get indignant. And they said, why are these children shouting out? And not, you know, the children were only repeating what they've seen the parents do. Because children mimic. Children ape. So the parents had been worshiping God at one time. And the kids knew to worship God. And Jesus said, well, I'll tell you what, if they don't cry out, the stones will cry out. Now give that some thought tonight. Do you want a dumb stone to praise God for you? I mean, that duh, you know. How dumb can you be and still breathe? And I thought about that one night. I thought, I don't want any dumb stone to praise God for me. God has been so good to me, I want to praise Him for myself. In fact, I can't stop praising Him. He can, from the rising of the sun, Psalm 113 says, to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. We can never praise God too much. Lord, I want to thank You for all You've done. You've rescued and You've ransomed me. My life is all in pieces, but You've made it one. You've really been good to me. Lord, You've really been good to me. Lord, You've really been good to me. You've taken my burdens and You set me free. You've really been good to me. Everybody singing it, Lord. You've really been good to me. Lord, You've really been good to me. You've taken my burdens and You set me free. You've really been good to me. Well, You filled me with the Spirit and it feels so fine. My life is all a melody. It's a thrill to know I'm Yours and You are mine. You've really been good to me. Lord, You've really been good to me. Lord, You've really been good to me. You've taken my burdens and You set me free. You've really been good to me. Oh, Lord, You've really been good to me. Lord, You've really been good to me. You've taken my burdens and You set me free. You've really been good to me. My loving kindness is better than life. with my hands
lifted up,
and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I bless Thee, O my hands lifted up, and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving,
I'll bless
Thee, O
Lord.
I will bless Thee, O Lord.
Sing.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.